first, when financial waste or fraud is uncovered in a governmental agency, whistleblowers are often the ones sounding the alarm. However, if their tips put a stop to abusive practices, they can still face retaliation from their employer. And a new report finds that it's especially true in Wisconsin.
Governor Walker has made it a priority to reduce waste and theft in the state government, but a series of court cases and legislative moves in recent years have eroded protections for those looking to voice their concerns. It's led some to call Wisconsin one of the worst states in the country for whistleblowers.
Dee Hall is a co-founder of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism and serves as the managing editor. The center's new series is called Broken Whistle. Dee, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's go through, this series a little bit. Having someone within an organization, you know, providing tips on potential abuse is kind of at the center of what being a whistleblower is. People keeping their eyes open, making sure that things are running smoothly, and then taking the steps to report it in the event that, you know, something is going wrong. But looking at the big picture, you know, just how important are whistleblowers?
Well, what we found is that whistleblowers are the number one way to identify if you really are out to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse in government or in a private company, for that matter. Whistleblowers are going to be your most likely source of information, much more than audits or any other kind of method that you might have, any kind of anti-fraud method you have. Sort of the one-off whistleblower is actually the most effective way to find out what's going on.
I would imagine, yeah, because they are in the organization day to day. It's not just a surprise audit. It's they can take notes, follow what's going on, anything like that. And Governor Walker has made the reduction of fraud in state agencies pretty much a top priority. But how has what he has been trying to achieve run counter to how whistleblowers are treated in the state?
Well, it's not entirely his fault about how whistleblowers are treated, and mostly because there have been a couple of recent court decisions that have really narrowed the path for a person to get retaliation from or to avoid retaliation after they blow the whistle. It's very difficult to meet the letter of the law right now, according to the attorneys who represent whistleblowers. The governor has made it a huge priority to try to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse in state government. And what we found was that he, according to the governor, has saved taxpayers like $150 million when it comes to Medicaid and food share alone. So definitely there is activity. Fraud, waste, fraud, and abuse is being identified. But we found this effort at rooting it out is pretty unevenly distributed. It focuses a lot on programs that help people who are unemployed, people who are disabled, people who get food share, Medicaid, and other areas in which businesses, for example, might have to pay a penalty for defrauding the government. Those efforts have been weakened somewhat over the last several years.
And can you go a little bit more in depth in that? Because in the series, you look at, you know, loans that have been given out with the promise of job creation, stuff like that. And when they don't meet those standards, they're not held to the same regard.
Right. So what we found was when the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation has given out loans for job creation, when the businesses don't meet those promises, they are often allowed to repay the money, pennies on the dollar. On the other side of the coin, we have people who are providing services under Medicaid, private nurses, for example. They're providing the services. They're actually meeting what they're supposed to do, what they're getting paid for. But because of paperwork errors, at least this is what their advocates are saying, because of paperwork errors, they are being asked to forfeit tens of thousands of dollars in salary in Medicaid funding because of those alleged errors.
As this series has gotten underway, the big focus has been on whistleblowers. And you said that, you know, there have been a series of cases that have made it all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'd like to take a look at one of those. Dan Bethards was one person that you followed with this. Can you tell his story?
So back in 2012, Dan Bethards became aware that one of his supervisors or his supervisor at the Department of Justice was making and selling firearms. And Bethards, who is a federally licensed firearm dealer, knew that the boss did not have the license that he, Bethards, thought he should have had. So he reported that to both his supervisor above this individual as well as the head of the Human Resources Department.
And what happened?
Well, he had been on medical leave. They left him on medical leave. At one point, he came back from medical leave, and they instantly suspended him. He eventually got fired in 2013. The federal government did actually investigate ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Bureau, did actually investigate and decided not to prosecute or levy any charges against this DOJ supervisor.
With the Dan Beathard's case, it was pretty long, drawn out. You know, he paid a pretty big penalty, not just professionally, but personally. He's obviously one case, but what kind of message does what happened with Dan Beathard send to other people who might be keeping their eyes open for issues in their own departments?
Well, he certainly says he regrets doing it. He lost his home to foreclosure. He has not been able to get a job again, except for a brief stint back in law enforcement, which actually had been in for a long, long time. And so he does regret blowing the whistle. So he's a person who, I guess his story is a cautionary tale. In court, it turned out that he lost his case because he had notified the director of human resources, who is not in his supervisory chain. And on that that point alone, he was not able to prevail in proving that he was retaliated against.
Yeah. And so in Beathard's case, he, under best intentions, reached out to his HR person and tried to do what he needed to do. That is not also unusual. There are other cases in this series that basically kind of show the same thing, that people who have an issue with something happening in their department tell someone that something is happening and they don't meet the requirements. I guess on that front, can we talk about Joelle Shiger?
So she also was at the Department of Justice several years ago. She reported that she was afraid that the DOJ was about to violate either rule or law, I don't recall which, by having a security detail for the then Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, go up to Minnesota and provide security for him at the Republican National Convention. Her fear was that, you know, not only would the agency look bad, but they may have been violating some of the rules of the department. And so she notified her supervisors of that. But it was found, it went all the way up to the state Supreme Court, and they ruled, it was a split decision, but they ruled that because this was information that her supervisors already knew, she was not providing them information that they didn't know, and so she couldn't get protection from retaliation. In addition, it was the justices deemed that what she had offered was simply an opinion about this and not extra information that would protect her from retaliation. And so she lost that case.
So it sounds like there's a pretty narrow path that you have to take to become the perfect whistleblower. I mean, doesn't this make it all the more difficult for people to call out waste and fraud?
I think it does, based on talking to attorneys who represent whistleblowers, that they really can't. It's very difficult to see what the path forward is for people. Even if they research the issue and try to do it the right way, sometimes they may not qualify for protection from retaliation.
And what kind of retaliation have we seen in these cases?
So the retaliation goes anywhere from, you know, being assigned a task that, you know, is not, you know, within the area of expertise of a person, being, put into move to another location that they don't want to work out of, to being demoted, to being fired. Also, you know, we've had cases where people have said that they were, left out of management meetings that they should be part of. So it's kind of a range of things that people will allege. But it's essentially the way the state law works is any adverse employment action that happens to you within 2 years after blowing the whistle could be considered an adverse action retaliation.
So in the Wisconsin Supreme Court case, where especially with Shiger, they said all you gave was an opinion. Was there any dissent?
Yeah, the dissenting opinion talked about how this seemed to create an impossible standard for a person who wants to alert his or her bosses to problems, that if the bosses are the ones who are creating the problem or doing the behavior that this person is reporting, then it's impossible. You're telling the boss something that he or she already knows. And therefore, you are not giving them whistleblower information. So it's just a very difficult. I'm not sure how a whistleblower would go forward under the scenario in which it was their direct supervisor, him or herself, who was actually doing the behavior that was being reported.
Insofar as you know, has there been any interest with our federal lawmakers to make this easier for, you know, Wisconsin employees to blow the whistle?
Well, what we've had on the federal level is different activities having to do with federal employees. So people within the VA, for example, there's been some moves in Congress to better protect people who report problems within the VA, which is an agency that, as probably everybody knows, has had a lot of problems. The state whistleblower law specifically deals with state employees. And so it would be up to the state legislature to make changes if they want to in the law to make it more clear about what it is that a person needs to do to actually become a whistleblower who is protected from retaliation.
Dee, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Dee Hall is a co-founder of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism and serves as the managing editor. She joined us to talk about the center's new series, Broken Whistle, looking at the lack of protections for whistleblowers in Wisconsin.